4. Just going to read 5 verses there. So reading from verse 1 of Micah 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken, "All nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever." So a little reading there from Micah, but what we're thinking about this morning is hope. What are we hoping for? Now, it's that time of year, isn't it, where you may be looking forward to various things. Perhaps you're like us, you haven't been on your holidays yet, so it's possible that you're looking forward to your holidays. Just over 8 days' time, we're going to be paddling over to France again. And, personally, I'm really excited. It's really exciting to go to a foreign country like France where you get to drive on the wrong side of the road, which is great. I've got to admit, I do sometimes forget which side actually is the right side of the road, if that makes any sense when you're over there. But it's great. I've got to practice my French, obviously, as usual, because it's very difficult sometimes to find Lidl's if you don't know how to ask where it is in French. And obviously ice creams and stuff like that. So really looking forward to that. Maybe you've been on your holiday, so there's other things you're looking forward to. But is looking forward to something the same as having hope? I think it isn't, is it? The hope we're talking about this morning is quite different from just being excited about a short-term thing that's coming up that will soon, of course, be past. What do we mean as followers of Jesus this morning, when we talk about hope? In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we read this. It says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." So how would you get on this morning if someone said to you, "Look, you've been to church this morning. What's this hope that Christians talk about? What's this hope that you have?" Would you look at them and go, "Goodness me, I really wish you hadn't asked me that question." Or would you, as Peter says, be able to give an answer to everyone who asked you that question? What is this hope we have? What is this hope we have? And if we have hope as Christians, are people asking us about this hope? And if they're asking us about it, what sort of an answer might we give? Now, it used to be, so I'm told, because it was before my time undoubtedly, that claims that the end of the world is nigh would be kind of restricted to the sort of street evangelists who'd walk around with a sandwich board. I kind of think of it being a more American thing, but maybe it happens in this country too. So you'd have a somber person walking up and down with something saying, "The end of the world is nigh," or a particular Bible verse. The thing is, today, claims that the end of the world is nigh are not restricted to a few street evangelists, are they? The news is full of worrying facts and statistics that would suggest that the end of the world actually may be a bit closer than we think. It happens in our popular media. There are science fiction stories and films featuring all sorts of ways that the world might end according to their imaginations, from nuclear devastation to alien invasions. And then there are the almost daily online and hard media reports of the impact of our human actions on our world, from plastic waste to global warming. And this is before we add in wars or threats of war, economic worries, and so on. Questions about the future of our planet are very much in people's minds. Whether they have faith in God or not, people are concerned about our world and just what might be going on. Well, I was looking out for some stuff here. I have to say, I didn't get a funny one this time. This one's a little bit more serious. But we've got a little clip from a documentary that was aired on American TV, it must be said, that was designed to consider some of the threats that the future of our existence faces. And I wonder if we could just play a couple of minutes of that.
I think it's an amazing thing that we're here and that we've been given this gift of this planet.
Put your hand up against the sky in the dark and consider what it is to be human on this small space and to be so small.
And I'm a speck. But I hope to be a contributing speck.
Humans are just one of the many billions of life forms that have been lucky enough to call this planet home. But sooner or later, that luck will run out. In fact, over 99% of the species that have ever existed on Earth are now extinct. Every one of these billions of species had one thing in common. They couldn't see it coming until now.
I'm worried about the next asteroid. These are the things that can render us extinct.
A gamma ray burst is as massive as an explosion can be.
From the most powerful forces in the universe to creatures so tiny, they are invisible to the naked eye.
Pandemic flu could just be extraordinarily devastating to our society.
But for all the fury nature wields, it turns out we are our own worst enemy.
Biggest threat that we face as a race probably is ourselves.
I think a third world war.
Atomic bombs or global warming.
Terrorism or biological warfare.
Tonight, a countdown. Some of the world's top scientists guide us through seven of the deadliest threats to humanity.
The planet is changing before our eyes.
We could kill 8 billion people. There are only 6 billion on the planet.
It would boil off, essentially, the whole top of the Earth's atmosphere.
I don't want to be around for that day.
The seven deadliest threats to humanity. Some can destroy civilization. Others have the power to render us extinct, to bring humans face to face with their last days on Earth.
Okay, a little bit extreme, I gather that, but nonetheless, when we talk about hope, you have to contrast it with the lack of hope that is out there in society as a whole. People may not be saying coming to us as church in big numbers, they might not be asking us about our faith in big numbers, but there is a decided lack of hope, and if we as Christians are saying we have hope, we have a message that can speak into that situation. We bring hope to a hopeless world. That's something significant there. The Bible is a hope-filled and a hope-fueled book. Here are just a few mentions of the word hope in the Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 6. Apologies for this. I really hate it if I'm listening to talk and the Bible verses going all over the place. But praise God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy has given new birth into what? Into a living hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is so much that we have as Christians that has hope written on it and written right through it. To a world that is really concerned about its future and all the dangers and threats that it faces, to a world that seems pretty hopeless, we should be overflowing with hope. Now, in other circumstances, you would think that would get people really excited, wouldn't it? It should be getting us really excited this morning. We have a message of hope to a world that has a distinct lack of hope. What is this hope we have? We have a new birth, a new life that we're able to be part of thanks to the death and wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was saying, well, that's great, Keith. You've given us a few New Testament verses. You've pointed us to Jesus as our hope, which is great, except your reading this morning, Keith, was not from the New Testament, was it? It was from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah. as is so often the case, we can first look at the old and look at the new and say, well, they must be competing against each other. But actually, if we unpack it a little bit, we see that the two are complementing each other. They are trying to tell us not two different things, but the one single message of God's love. In the Old Testament, in books like Micah, people were looking forward, or the prophets were looking forward, with hope to a future where God and human beings would once again be in that pre-fall, pre-sin relationship where all was good. So as we read these verses from Micah chapter 4, we see that Micah had hope. Who was Micah, you might be asking? Well, he prophesied between 750 BC and 686 BC. He was a contemporary of other prophets like Hosea and Isaiah. In fact, Micah chapter 4 actually has very similarities with Isaiah chapter 2. What was Micah hoping for? What are you hoping for? In many respects, Micah was having this prophetic message at a time when there was a lack of hope. Israel was in a mess. Its politicians were corrupt. Its leaders were leading people in the wrong direction. God was being ignored and ushered out of public life. A multitude of other religions and practices were gaining popularity. We say that the Old Testament's got to be irrelevant because it was written so long ago, but it's not hard to see the mirror images of these things today. The rich were exploiting the poor. Look around and people could say the country was falling to bits, which it literally was. Not only was it divided, but it soon would be conquered. A time for doom and gloom, surely. The end of the world was nigh, at least the end of their world was nigh. But Micah had hope. So what was Micah hoping for? Micah was looking to a time when all this mess would be over once and for all. In the last days, that's how this chapter begins. There is a reminder here that as Christians, we are to be engaged with the world around us. We are to be praying for the situations that come up in our news, come up in our relationships, come up in our workplace. But we are not to be so caught up in daily events that we lose sight of the life and hope that God has given us. Circumstances and our feelings about it must not overwhelm or exclude our faith. Difficult times, uncertain times, confusing times. They call not for a sense of hopelessness and despair, well, what's going to happen? But a reminder instead of our faith and our hope. Micah 4, verse 1, in the last days. I suppose in some respects, hope here is based on a technical term called eschatology. It just comes from a Greek word meaning the end or things of the end. One day, all this will end. What is our hope? Back to Micah. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. In the last days, worship will be rightfully focused on the one true God. That's why we gather together Sunday by Sunday to worship God, because we are preparing ourselves for the full realization of this kingdom when worship will be right at the center. That's good news. That's hope. Micah 4, verse 2. Many nations will come and say. So here we have two things about hope. First of all, God will be at the center of it. And secondly, the hope is for all nations, not just a few. So if you ever wonder why we gather together for worship as a church, it's because that's predicting what's going to happen in the future, isn't it? It's preparing us for that central focus on God. And why do we go out and share with others about that good news? Because the good news is for many nations. It's for all, not just a few. Micah 4, verse 2 continues, he will teach us his ways. What are the ways of God? There will be justice. There will be peace. There will be no need for war or the instruments of war. This is the hope that Christians have. This is the hope that we have. Not just that all this mess and stuff will end, but very much that the best is yet to come. The world may be a mess, but God is going to do something about it. The very best for our lives is still to come. As followers of Jesus, we are reminded that, in a sense, the start of the end has well and truly begun. On the cross, Jesus defeated evil. On the cross, the devil and everything that the devil stands for was knocked down. It's not truly over yet, in the sense there are many skirmishes and battles still there, but one day it will be fully over. We have hope. Now, having said that, and no one shouted that it was wrong, but then I wouldn't possibly expect you to, we might be asking then, well, I wonder why people aren't asking us about this hope. If the world is a mess, and we can see that there's a lot of problems out there, most people would agree with that, and if there's a distinct lack of hope about things, then why aren't they coming to us who have hope and saying, well, tell us about this hope you have. Tell us why you don't feel despair or hopelessness. In the church, and we mean big, wide church at this point, there seems to be a distinct lack of hope, doesn't there? There seems to be a sense of pessimism and even defeat. Many of us are happy if our churches survive. Many of us are happy if, as individuals, we just kind of get through the week ahead. God's called us to something different. We may look at our world and look at our church and look at ourselves and think, well, things are pretty hopeless, Jesus, if you put our hope in us. But Jesus has put his hope in us. Of all the peoples on earth, we are the ones who have hope. So what might this mean? There was a missionary, a person called Leslie Newbegin. He worked in India and stuff. Then he came back to this country, and I think he was an Anglican, actually, for a while. And he studied the church and its mission. And this is just some of the stuff he wrote. He said, we have to keep in view the fact that what the gospel offers is not just hope for the individual, but hope for the whole world. I think this means that a congregation must be so deeply involved in the concerns of the neighborhood that it becomes clear that everyone and everything is in the range of God's love in Jesus. Christ's message, the original gospel, was about the coming of the kingdom of God. That is to say, God's kingly rule over the whole of his creation and the whole of humankind. Amidst the bad news, amidst the doomsday scenarios on offer, the hope of the gospel offers an exciting alternative. Like every human being, in a sense, we know the ending of our story. There's a 100% chance that you and I, one day, will die. We don't know when, we don't know how, that's true, that's all to be sorted out, but we know that we're going to die. And yet, despite that knowledge, there is an inbuilt will in us to resist that narrative. The narrative may say, well, actually, you're doomed. Give up because you're going to die anyway, and that's that. But actually, inbuilt within us is a resistance to that narrative. We say we may be destined to die, but I'm going to resist it, and I'm going to refuse to accept it. The film, science fiction film, Interstellar, has this scene that we're going to see just now, where the mission to save humanity has come down to this crew in a spaceship. The odds look, pretty well impossible, to be honest. For humankind, the night is surely going to win. Let's have a little look at the clip just now.
Amelia, be soon. Give my regards to Dr. Mann.
You will, Dad.
It looks good for your trajectory. We've calculated 2 years to Saturn.
It's a lot of drama, mate.
Look after my family, will you please, sir?
We'll be waiting for you when you get back. A little older, a little wiser, but happy to see you. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end, no dark is right. Because their words had fought no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
As Christians, we can often think, particularly in this country just now, we think, well, to be honest, the odds are stacked against us. No one really takes seriously the message in the media and things. And to be honest, it's very hard sometimes to follow Jesus when everyone else is saying, well, we're getting on fine without him. The odds may be stacked against us, but we have to remind ourselves this morning that we are the remaining hope for humanity. Rather than accept that we live, then we die, and that's it, we follow a Jesus who defies death and offers life, new life to everyone who believes. But not that pigeon, probably. Krish Kanda writes, we have the great privilege of knowing how the story ends and our future hope. It's a great security for us as we face tomorrow. This security is not to be wasted in the cocoon of self-indulgence, but instead is to form the basis of risky living for the sake of the gospel in our world today. Knowing how the story ends means that we need not be overwhelmed by various dangers and adventures that come our way. In a dark world, a little hope goes a long way. Our great hope for tomorrow is the powerful antidote that our world needs today. Hope ought to make a difference to us. We as Christians, as we've heard from these Bible verses, have a living hope. That is what Jesus has done for us, and he's brought us new life. We have a hopeful message for a world that is often seems to be without hope. Knowing how the story ends, that it doesn't end in death and disaster, but ends in the new life and the full kingdom of God, is an amazing thing for us. And yet, I leave myself with this question, maybe you as well. Does it actually make a difference? When we step out of this little cocoon of church, does it really impact the way I live and the way I speak to others, the way I share my faith of hope that we have? There's a quirky film. I won't show a clip from it because I haven't got the clip from it. But it's Big Fish. I don't know if you saw it. It was Ewan McGregor was in it, wasn't it? And his character is given a glimpse of the future in which he sees that he's actually destined to die. But rather than sending him into shock, it provides the basis for a fearless approach to life. I'm not recommending the film at all, but knowing how things end, does that actually give us a fearless approach to life? Will we take risks? Will we share our faith? Will we go out and make a difference in the name of Jesus? Micah 4, verse 5, as we close, and I think we'll pray and then we'll hand back to the musicians. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Let's pray, and then I'm going to hand back to the musicians to lead us in some song worship. Lord God, as we come to you this morning, it may feel that all the nations have gone their different ways, that those around us do not know you or respect you. If we say we're a Christian, we feel we're going to be laughed at, or perhaps worse. And yet, Lord, our world does lack hope. We worry about many things. And here we are sitting this morning with a message of hope that Jesus has conquered death and our sins, our mistakes are forgiven. And one day you're going to return and full eternal life will be available. Lord, I pray for the courage. We know the end. I pray for the courage then to live a bit braver, to live a bit riskier, to live a bit better for your kingdom. I pray that your hope will truly fill our hearts, fill my heart, and overflow so I can't help but share that hope with others. Thank you, God, for your faith and trust in us. May we put more and more into you as we seek to live that hope and experience that hope just now. As Micah says, Other nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we pray, will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen.